Time for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Today, I am with Eric Anderson. He is an emergency preparedness planner for the Southeastern Utah Health Department. September is Emergency Preparedness Month nationally. So we're going to talk about what the Emergency Preparedness Department at the Health Department does, who they coordinate with, the things that they work with, and things that they do to make sure that everybody is ready in an emergency situation. Eric Anderson, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Dave.
I love when people want to come in and talk and get information out there that people need, and this is great information. So let's really start with, what does an emergency preparedness planner do?
Okay, well, like you mentioned, I work at the Southeastern Utah Health Department, where we focus on general awareness and public health and safety for the population of Grand, Carbon, and Emory counties. And for me specifically, I work a lot with the Hospital Preparedness Program and the Medical Reserve Corps. So I'm a coordinator that kind of more of a facilitator that helps prepare all of these organizations, emergency medical services, work with county managers for their worst day, you know, a disaster.
And as you, we were kind of talking before you came on the air, and you're talking anything from, you know, a mass casualty event to even like a nuclear explosion, things like that. You guys kind of cover everything, and it's really just, let's throw this at you and see how you guys react to it. That's what it really is about, reaction time, I would imagine.
Right. And it, really, if you think about the different disasters that we could face, Southeastern Utah, we probably aren't going to worry a lot about hurricanes, but wildfires, floods, earthquakes, a big concern. Winter storms have hit us in the past severely, so we're mostly thinking about those things, but we're also thinking about potential man-made disasters, mass shooters, large casualty events from an explosion, those type of things, chemical spills from a railway or a semi.
And to that event, you know, you say you work a lot with the county emergency managers and things like that. And do you go and do drills, or does someone from the state come down and say, okay, this is what happened, show us what you got, that kind of thing?
So every organization conducts their own drills. We do have some state oversight that will watch what we do, as well as federal oversight. We just did a big exercise in Grand County, a mass casualty event. We did an exercise where we essentially pretended that a plane crashed, and we brought in emergency medical services, worked with all the hospitals of U of U Burn Center to try and make sure that our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed in case of an emergency, so that we can facilitate successful resolution.
And you said that, you know, this is one aspect of it. There's a lot that you do that maybe the general public doesn't even realize, that you deal with, like health and wellness too, and things right. like that.
Right. Yeah. So our focus is really at the health department to make sure that our population is as healthy as possible and prepared in case of even the pandemic. We have a lot to do with this is an infectious disease breakout, obviously. And so everything dealing with that and any other incident that you can possibly imagine, we're trying to come up with plans that will enable us to face it more easily.
And I was going to ask, and since you brought it up, with the pandemic, that's really has taxed some hospital systems.
Yes.
And in our area, we don't necessarily hear about it as prevalent, but I'm sure that sometimes they get to that point as well. Now, are you guys helping them coordinate and say, hey, you know, this is what you're going to need and those kinds of things? Or does that really fall on the hospital?
The hospital does the vast majority of it. We do coordinate with them. We can help them, provide them with certain equipment and supplies, and then also with coordination. But the hospital mostly does it. We are having an uptick in cases right now, like the rest of the state is, and so we're trying to manage that. We as far as our part in that, we do a lot of contact tracing and notification. We work with employers, and our main goal is to do everything we can to keep the community safe, keep employers open, and make sure that we get through this all in one piece.
All right. We're speaking with Eric Anderson. He is the Emergency Preparedness Planner for the Southeastern Utah Health Department. And we've just been discussing about the different types of things that really are wrapped into what they do, and what other kinds of things do you guys look at, and what other kind of things do you work on in the health district?
So another big focus for us is trying to teach preparedness to the general population. And so when we look at those things, we try to break it down in the most simple form possible, because if you look at preparedness, it can be super overwhelming. And so we look at it from the basis of generally about four different things. We look at your physical fitness or your general physical health first. We look at potential scenarios that we're preparing for, because that kind of shapes your mission, if you will, on what you want to be prepared for. And then we look at two versions of that, one being sheltering in place and the other one being if you're asked to evacuate, like in case of a wildfire or a flood.
And really, you know, this time of the year, maybe from the end of July to the 1st of September, that is one thing that should really be front and center is flash floods.
Right.
And it seems like at least every week we've had some sort of warning and watch or those kinds of things. So what are some of the things that people should be ready for in the case of a flash flood?
So when you look at flooding or wildfires, things that we're worried about, you look at South Lake Tahoe right now, 50,000 people were just asked to evacuate from that area. So it is a realistic possibility. So when we look at quickly evacuating, it's not something that you want to do for the first time when you're doing it. If you have a plan in place and you've rehearsed it, it generally goes a lot better. And when we look at disasters all over the place, people who generally have practiced and prepared a little bit survive them much easier. They are more comfortable. And so some of the things we look at doing is having people with a list available in a clear location of things that they need to grab and go. So whether it's a 72-hour kit that they put together, whether it's super important documents to them, whether it's prescription medicine, all of those things, the easily accessible kind of staged so that they can grab it and go and they don't have to put a lot of thought into it. The list enables them to really accurately get what they need, not forget things.
And if people have questions or anything like that, or do you have like sample lists and things on your website?
Yeah, so Be Ready Utah is a great resource. We also have them on seuhealth.com as well. That's where our blog is, where we talk about a lot of emergency preparedness issues. For sure.
And if someone would like to call and talk with you about this, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, easiest way is just to call me at the Southeast Utah Health Department. That's 435-637-3671.
Eric Anderson, Emergency Preparedness Planner for the Southeastern Utah Health District. Remember, September is Emergency Preparedness Month. And if you've got any questions, you can contact them down at the Health Department. Eric, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Now, for more information on interviews like this one, you can always check out our website, CastleCountryRadio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.